Every summer, parts of Eugene bake under the sun, with no shade, cracked streets, and brown lawns. It's not just climate change, it's a lack of trees. And planting and protecting them takes time, money, and people who care. I'm Josie Birak, and this is Beneath the Branches, where I'll meet with Friends of Trees volunteers who remind me that trees aren't just for decoration, they're essential. And if support is cut, we stand to lose more than just leaves and limbs. We risk losing something rooted deep in our communities. One of the first people I met with was Allie Fraga and her mom, Jane Cooper, a mother-daughter duo who owns several properties on Jefferson Street in Eugene. When I walked up to Allie's house, one thing was clear. These people love trees. Signs from Friends of Trees dotted their yard, and young saplings were neatly dispersed on their lawn.
Hi.
Come on in.
Okay, awesome. Hi. I'm Josie. Good. How are you?
Allie is tall with straight shoulder-length blonde hair, and Jane, Allie's mom, has gray hair and is wearing a lumberjack-like flannel shirt. We sat down on their couch for a discussion about trees.
Well, Allie's my daughter. And, like daughter, like mother, vice versa. And I have a real passion for trees. You know, Allie's goal is to let people here on Jefferson Street know that we can create an incredible, almost a tunnel of trees all the way down Jefferson Street. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we bought our house 5 years ago, and when I first got here, there just really wasn't that many trees planted in our property, and I reached out to a friend of mine who does tree work. And he forwarded me on to Friends of Trees, and they, you know, said that they were a wonderful organization. I called them and kind of learned more about their mission and learning about urban canopy and just how important that is.
As I was listening to Allie, I started thinking about my own childhood. I grew up in Portland, surrounded by trees, but I never really thought about them or how they got there or what life would be like without them. I've taken trees for granted most of my life. And hearing stories like Allie's made me realize that most of our essential trees were planted by somebody on purpose. It's not automatic. And now, with hotter summers and shrinking budgets, that choice to plant a tree matters more than ever.
I think the biggest motivation for me getting trees was a few summers ago. We had that really, really hot summer. And I had read some study that said that if a tree is planted in the shade, that it can be 40 degrees cooler than in the sun. And this was like a little slice of what I could do to help.
Allie and Jane are not alone in feeling that way. Another volunteer I spoke with is Geraldine Posat Newcomb, a French professor in the Romance Languages department here at the U of O. She has been volunteering with Friends of Trees for 4 years.
Oh, I've always loved trees. It pains me to see them cut.
When I asked her why she continues to volunteer, she said,
I'm aware of the challenges we face, and this one small thing I can do for the world is plant trees. Yeah. And I like the dirt.
For Geraldine, planting trees isn't just a civic act. It's a personal one. It's spiritual, too.
I didn't have a very happy family place, so I went out a lot in the country. And so I developed a relationship with the forest early on. I realized how much I love the forest, and looking at leaves and trees, I realized how similar we were, you know, veins on my hands, same as veins on the leaves. And I developed a real love for trees in the forest and their calmness and their stability. That was one thing. And also at the country house, we had an enormous linden tree. And I started climbing it when I was 8 and spent a lot of time in its branches.
As I spoke with more volunteers, I saw a pattern. Many of them said they had a strong connection to trees from their childhood. Kat Colson, a junior at the University of Oregon who is studying planning, public policy, and management, shared with me her connection to Friends of Trees.
That when I was younger and in Portland, my parents got a tree planted by Friends of Trees, and there's so much wildlife in that tree, and it's so amazing, and it's so beautiful. And it's just generally, it's like one really great shade tree, and then the rest of my street is like just not so good, and it's all concrete. So it's just, it gets really hot, and it's like, for dogs to walk on. And I was like a kid, like playing in the summer, it would just get so hot. And so we would take refuge under that Douglas fir.
Allie and Jane have a similar childhood connection to trees.
When I was a little kid, I lived in Connecticut, and there was an oak tree, and it seemed like the oak tree was, oh, it must have been 100 feet tall, and it wasn't. But my father had put long ropes on it and made it into a swing for us. And we would swing every day on that swing, and that tree was always at our side.
Was it a dogwood we had in the backyard in Connecticut?
Oh, yeah.
I still remember that one. Yeah. So that was one of the first ones I could probably identify when I was little. I liked the flowers on it. I thought it was pretty.
Yes.
Another thing that people love about Friends of Trees is their work parties. Jane gave me a sense of why.
I mean, I like to see, you know, these aren't necessarily people that have come in groups. They might have come by themselves. And yet, you know, there's that commonality and everybody is enjoying what they're doing.
These stories made me realize trees don't just line our sidewalks. They line our memories and often our hearts. For so many people, trees are more than just shade. They offer solace, stability, and a quiet kind of shelter. They're rooted in childhood and have been woven into some of our earliest, happiest memories. But beyond the personal, trees offer measurable benefits to the environment. They cool our neighborhoods, support wildlife, filter air, and protect public health. During a Friends of Trees planting event, I spoke with a volunteer named Todd Miller.
Can you, like, explain what the trees mean to you or, like, the importance of the trees?
Oh, yeah, certainly. I think the most important thing to me is that it provides shade and it provides a cooler neighborhood for people.
Allie and Jane also recognize the health benefits of trees.
I've lived in Eugene since I was 8 years old, so 31 years, and I have never had a day that was that hot. So something's changing with our environment and it's not good. So I figured, you know, even on a small scale, like what kind of things can we do to help? And trees are an easy one.
When I asked them about how trees affect their mental health, they lit up.
There's nothing like sitting outside on a summer afternoon and you hear just the leaves swaying back and forth and you hear the birds and the trees. And if you're quiet enough, you can hear the bees. It's not a little sound, it's a big sound. It's a buzz. And to know it, the things that affects, you know, it's their food, it's their existence.
Beyond the health benefits, Jane reminded me that trees have economical benefits as well.
One of the things I think it's important to know also, I'm a real estate agent.
Okay.
And planting trees adds tens of thousands of dollars of value to a home. If you took a house and you had no trees versus a house next door to it that had an abundance of trees, the one that has the abundance is obviously, that's a sale point. Mm-hmm. People want trees. I love taking care of trees and I love watching them grow.
Yeah, I think it just looks so much prettier. I just like feel really proud and accomplished after I get more trees planted. And then I think I'm done and then I want more. It's like a tree addiction.
But in Eugene, the benefits of trees aren't spread equally. When I talked with Jeff Lanza, one of the lead directors at Friends of Trees Eugene, he made it clear that we are in a game of catch up. Right now, humans have set the environment on a dangerous path. The work that Friends of Trees does is part of restoring our canopy by planting trees to make our communities more livable and our environment more resilient. But they are also aware of all the work that needs to be done. Despite its reputation as a green city, Eugene has a surprisingly low tree canopy at just 25%, with Springfield likely below 20%. Meanwhile, cities like Atlanta and Tallahassee have canopy coverage closer to 50%, and Portland is at 30%. But it's not just how many trees a city has, it's where they are. Wealthier neighborhoods like the South Hills benefit from dense tree cover, while West Eugene and most of Springfield are exposed, with just 7 to 20% canopy. Schoolyards, surprisingly, have the lowest tree cover of all. As climate change brings hotter summers and more extreme storms, the need for trees, for shade, for cooling, and stormwater control is more urgent than ever. But our urban canopy is struggling. Poor planting choices in the past, along with new threats like pests and drought, mean we need smarter planting now. The right tree in the right place. As a part of her club, Live Move, Kat is helping launch a community survey that asks residents how they value trees and where they feel they're missing. They plan to distribute this web-based survey to residents in person at high traffic areas like Saturday Market and cross-examine it with socioeconomic data that participants can share.
We're just trying to see like what people value in certain spaces, so like parks, on planning strips, you know, like public planning strips outside of homes or in the middle of streets or downtown or whatever, and then see how people actually want that to show up.
She told me one of the biggest challenges in this kind of work is trust and ownership.
When people don't understand the impact that a change could have, it's harder for people to be on board with that change, because ultimately you can't promote public health, equity, and opportunity by excluding the people that it actually impacts.
Kat believes that the key to promoting tree equity is transparency and involving people from the start. But she also acknowledges the complications of planning on both public and private land. In Eugene, city-owned trees are often planted on what feels like private property, like in someone's yard. This then causes homeowners frustration when roots damage sidewalks or infrastructure. Homeowners are responsible for maintenance and liabilities, even when they have little control over the trees and how their roots grow. This legal gray area makes some people wary of new plantings, even though city-planted trees are an essential strategy for expanding our tree cover. I asked Kat for her definition of urban tree equity.
I would say that because industrialization and deforestation has been targeted in areas that where people have less time to fight and people have less money to fight, you know, in South Eugene, of course, around the university, they're not going to want to take down trees. They're not going to want to build factories, you know, but I mean, once you cross over into Springfield, it's a different story. But like immediately around the UO, they're going to want to have this image of, you know, really vegetated, really shady, really beautiful, nice old houses. It's very unrealistic for a lot of people to be able to actually live there.
So now that we know that urban tree equity isn't just about planting more trees, it's about where we plant them and who gets to decide. As Kat explained, historically marginalized communities have taken on the brunt of industrial development, deforestation, and neglect, while wealthier areas have had the time, money, and power to protect their green spaces. Today, Friends of Trees and community researchers like Kat are trying to shift that balance by planting in underserved neighborhoods, listening to residents, and making the benefits of trees accessible to everyone. But even with the best intentions, equity is messy. Laws around tree ownership are confusing, sidewalk damage creates liabilities for homeowners, and public planting can spark pushback when people aren't included in the decision-making process. Still, the goal remains clear. If we want healthier, more just cities, trees are part of the solution, but planting them correctly and in the right places requires learning, care, and time. Another theme that came up during my research was maintenance. You can't just plant a tree and then never tend to it. Many trees get planted and then die because they don't get the maintenance they need to survive.
I've seen that even in high-income areas like Adams School. As a school was being built, they put these huge trees in. They're probably a good 6 to 7 foot, you know, a substantial tree. And within a short period of time, they died because nobody took care of them. The city has a program where they take trucks and they go around and they water these trees. That's the biggest challenge. The first year, it needs 15 gallons a week. The second year is 10, and the third year is 1. And then after that, the tree has to make it.
Planting trees takes time, but it also takes money. When I visited Friends of Trees, I learned that some of their biggest challenges aren't about needing volunteers, but about needing funding, especially federal grants. Friends of Trees is a nonprofit, and in recent years, they have received support through the Federal Inflation Reduction Act, either directly or through partners like the Arbor Day Foundation. The IRA gave the Arbor Day Foundation $75 million in grant money to distribute, and Friends of Trees got $400,000, but now, all the $75 million has been taken back from all of the groups who had already received the funding, and some had even started to spend the money. Friends of Trees now no longer has that $400,000 grant. Eric Burke from Friends of Trees told me how other nonprofit groups, like our Oregon Urban and Community Forestry based in Talent, Oregon, had lost even more, up to $600,000. Some organizations had already started spending the money when the freeze hit, and some had to pause operations altogether. The problem is a tangle of legal challenges, political shifts, and delays at the federal level. A recent lawsuit temporarily reinstated some of the money, but the future still remains uncertain. And that uncertainty trickles down. States are already planning budget cuts of 10 to 30%, anticipating the loss of federal support. For nonprofits like Friends of Trees, that puts even more strain on an already fragile system. Friends of Trees isn't totally dependent on federal money, though. They also rely on city contracts, individual donors, local sponsors, and something called tree fees. But federal grants are still a big piece of the puzzle, about a quarter of their budget. And without them, everything from staffing to project scale could take a hit. Oregon state organizations are prepared for their federal funding budgets to be reduced by up to 30%. Jeff describes it as pure chaos, and Eric told me that he thinks there's about a 60% likelihood that they'll just lose all the money. In Eugene, Friends of Trees still has a contract with the city to plant and prune over 300 trees a year, and that's a good start. But without reliable federal support, even local work, especially in under-resourced areas like Train Song, became harder to sustain. Because when the money goes, so do the people. And when the people go, the planting slows, the vision shrinks, and the neighborhoods that needed trees the most may end up waiting the longest. I asked Allie and Jane how it feels after they plant a tree.
I'm thrilled. I come back. I don't live here. I live in further south from here. But I come back here two or three times a week to look at. I park across the street and I sit there and I just look. So that makes me, believe it or not, happy. And I want to make sure nobody's damaging my trees, because I've seen a lot of damaged trees in the, you know, along the street on Willamette Street and over on 13th Street. People come and bent them over. I feel like I'm the caregiver and my attention is necessary.
The more I learned, the more I came to understand that trees are so much more than landscaping. They're infrastructure, their memory, their community, and yet they're vulnerable. As funding gets cut and planting slows, the neighborhoods most in need of trees risk falling even further behind. The bright side is there are so many more people like these volunteers who aren't giving up. Whether it's loading trucks at dawn, handing out watering instructions, or planting one sapling at a time, they're still out there, quietly, steadily, helping the canopy grow. And maybe that's the most hopeful part of all, knowing that the trees we plant today won't just shade us, but somebody else years from now. I'm Josie Burak, and thank you for listening to Beneath the Branches. Beneath the Branches was produced, written, and narrated by me, Josie Burak. Special thanks to all the volunteers who spoke with me, to our teachers Torsten Kelstrad and Dennis Dimmick, and to all the other students in the Science Story class for their support, feedback, and encouragement throughout the project. And of course, thank you so much to Friends of Trees for letting me tag along.